ain't going back. Now I'm gonna buy into all that. Hey, hey, ain't gonna hide, gonna let all the fears lie. Got mother nature, it's on my side. Got all of the loving growing inside.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to The New Now. I am super duper delighted to have Harold Kotz back with us, chatting on healing protocols, bioweapons, and how perhaps you can move beyond and heal yourself through those challenges. Harold, hello.
Good morning in Japan. Good night in Germany. I don't know what it's in the US. I have no clue. It's too late for me to do calculations.
It's about dinner time in the US right now.
Yeah, that's good. That suits.
So, Harold, you've done some research since the last time we've chatted. You've done some further diving into bioweapons. So let's first perhaps broach the subject of what you mean by bioweapons, so all of our viewers can be on the same page, and then we can move towards how we might be able to heal from said challenges.
Yeah. First, to just clarify, I'm not researching a lot myself. I'm more networking, but I'm in contact with really the best researchers on the field of COVID at the moment. And we're getting in some serious data on what we are dealing with. And it's really such a highly intelligent structure somebody has manufactured there. This is why I can't even call it a disease anymore. This is a bioweapon, and it contains a lot of intent with quite weird aspects of what we observe in our daily life today, like even including psychotronic weapons that can be pinpointed in the medical diagnosis of especially long COVID patients, show symptoms that make a lot of sense if you understand how psychotronic weapons work. So So let's put it, we're not fighting a disease and a pandemic, we're fighting a bioweapon. And this is not genetic reprogramming agenda. So let's just stick to the truth somehow and see how we get from there, where we get from there.
How would you define psychotronic weapons?
If you look deep into science, you have always the material plane that finds its expression, and you have the consciousness plane. And especially in the area of genetics, which is the most sensitive area of matter we have in the entire universe. It's like the center of the universe in global scaling theory. You realize the standing wave, everything that exists goes through the DNA. It's the central knot. So DNA has these two aspects. It's a material expression, plus it is the thing that holds consciousness. And when people start to play with DNA, especially when it comes to synthetic biology, that they really can print DNA on DNA printers that has been designed in computers, you get nice possibilities, like having remote controlled units. You have a sequence that is carrying a dial-in code that can switch on and off genes. And then you can cut out genes from the animal kingdom to utilize their properties. And every strand you take and use is there on the material plane. And on the same time, it is there in the consciousness realm, carrying its own signature as a consciousness. And what turned out with a number of long COVID patients is that the spike protein, apparently, or some other parts of the RNA of the virus, fused with gut bacteria and introduced certain sequences into the gut bacteria. that produce two things, two toxins, snake venom. And this is where you see the genetic engineering. You know, if it's just producing any toxic substance, it's just, you know, something that might have come into the game by coincidence. But it is, if it is reproducing a known snake venom, then this is a sequence that is copy-pasted into the RNA. And then this is transferred to the gut bacteria, and then the gut bacteria start to produce exactly that toxin. This is why this special long COVID aspect is coming into life, which is the disbalance of the microbiome in the gut. And the second one is a poison coming from a cone snail, a saltwater snail. And the interesting thing where you really see how psychotronic weapons work is when you compare the genetics, which means the material expression, which means the real life of the animals it comes from, and then compare it to the psychological aspect of it. And now you tell me if you recognize it. The hunting scheme of the cone snail is it's slowly poisoning the water around it with this toxin, and then the fish absorb it and develop a real strong desire to get very close to the snail that then is shooting out a needle, stinging the fish, completely poisoning him, and then pulling him in to be eaten.
Yeah.
The snake venom involved is like, imagine the snake bites a rat, gives in a small portion of the venom into the rat, and then it goes back to hide with his tribe, with his other rat family members, but realizes suddenly it's scared shit from his own species and turns against it. And then it goes in some form of, on one hand, hatred towards the other rats that are not poisoned yet, and at the same time, in complete agony, donating itself to the snake. If you mix those two predatory patterns, you know what's happening on the planet at the moment.
Yeah, it does sound eerily familiar.
Kind of,
yeah.
When we got those results, it was like, ah, no. And then if you just recognize the possibility that there is some psychotronic aspect involved and you look for the data, we had one woman that found herself in front of a bus 6 times in a row with a clear decision. She never wants to... But she's waking up from trance state in front of the facility, realizing, oh, now I'm here again. I never made the decision to come here. I never made the decision. Something has completely milked the self-perception to a degree where she just sleepwalked there to get stinged 6 times in a row.
Did she get
in it? This,
or she woke up?
No. She woke up. She right. woke up before. And then she realized, oh, something is massively wrong. Mm. And I hope that it kind of, you know, when these subtle poisoning effects come to awareness, that it's easier for people to not fall for the divide and conquer aspect of the snake venom. And the please sting me pattern of the cone snail. You know, then this is what I observe. People who are intuitively driven by emotions, they fall for it. Every single human that is fear-based, fear-driven, is an easy target of those weapons. The people who still have some form of reflection and mind pattern that is in control of their life and what they really want to do as a decision, they can override those programs. So I really hope that just by making it public that those psychotronic weapons are part of the agenda is kind of giving people the kick to question their own behavior and ask themselves, is that me or is it a poison that is actually forwarded by shedding or by being in a state of long COVID that doesn't need to have symptoms? You know, it's enough when once you had COVID, these things are in you. And even if the viral infection is gone, the gut bacteria still can be modified genetically and continue. You know, this is one of the many aspects of long COVID, that the infection itself is a kind of easy thing to deal with the body, but all the other aspects are hanging there and they don't go away. And even this is part of the genetic engineering done to that virus. And we exactly know how they did it. It's addressing certain genomes, certain sequences that control disease and health. Kind of, it's like a dual switch. You know, this is I'm healthy. This is I have a disease. No, this is I'm healthy. And this is I can't catch a disease. And then the two are switching back and forth together in a natural state. So if the body decides it would be better to run one of those exceptional programs to self-cleanse because my spirit cannot regulate my health anymore, so I need a disease to detox, then the two are switching around and it expels the soul from the body and invites in that program, that disease entity, the spiritual aspect of the disease, to take over the control of the body. But what COVID does, it's blocking the entire mechanism. It invites in the disease and it blocks the mechanism. This is how they get the souls out of the body, by blocking that mechanism. This is so incredible, intelligently made, that I don't know. Sometimes I feel like honoring those people for their brains, but not for the intentions. So. So that's kind of also one part that needs to be dealt with, that when you get sick, it's a normal state of being. Everyone knows it, that when you're sick, you're a bit dreamy, you're far off, you're not yourself, you're somewhere in dreamland, and the connection to your spirit is dizzy and disconnected. And this is exactly what they need to apply mind control transhumanistic patterns. They need the spirit to be far away enough to take over control. So they just invent a disease that is destroying the switching system, blocking it once and forever, and then the soul stays out. The good thing is you can affirm it back in. This is epigenetics. The methylation and demethylation of sequences is an epigenetic process, and the epigenetics can be controlled by the spirit. So it's enough to affirm that back into the healthy state, to re-switch it into the healthy order. So that's not a damage that is difficult to fix.
Well, how is the switch being initiated in the first place? Towards, let's say, a healthy person or so-called healthy person, like what's the initiator? Do you think?
You mean to ruin the principle, or yes. How does it work when we're healthy? When we're healthy, the spirit is in full control of self-organization of the body, and the thyroid is closed. As an energetic entity, it's sealed. These are the two components. When we realize our body is toxified and needs cleansing, then the spirit is expelled and the thyroid is opened. And the things that are offered by our environment, the information of that comes in with smells. So if, for example, I meet somebody who is or has an active COVID infection, I can smell the spike protein. They sit on some pheromone receptors. The pheromone receptor is communicating with the immune system. Do we need this disease? Yes or no? And if it's a yes, then the information goes down to the thyroid and it forms kind of a plug, a socket-like structure, energetic socket, that displays the necessities of what needs to be cleansed in the body. And then you have the straightforward communication between the energetics of the thyroid and the demonic entity, the disease demon, in the one that triggered the mechanism at the first place. And if it fits, the entity sprouts, jumps into the thyroid, and takes over the system for the duration of the disease. When the cleansing is done in a healthy disease, in a natural disease, the mechanism switches back. The thyroid is closed. The entity is disconnected from the body. And then everything is fine. The body got the detoxing it needed. And it's actually, it's really old knowledge. When you look into the time before the infection theory came up, it was common knowledge that disease are activated and transferred by smells. Mm. It's the miasma theory of disease. It was before they kind of spotted those tiny little things like germs and viruses in microscopes and said, no, this is a basically material transfer of pathogens. This theory came later, before, and even in other traditions, like in the Indian, in the Vedic medicine, it's common knowledge that there are disease demons that sprout and jump from one to the next one. The entire naming of disease, even in the European tradition, is coming from that. We've got the yellow fever because it carries a yellow demon. We've got the black death because that demon is black. It's used to be within the perception of humans to see and feel that entity transfer. Just nowadays, people are so intoxified that they don't feel anything anymore. So it's escaped their perception. So science could just overrule the old knowledge. But it's still valid. I mean, this is my perception. When I catch a cold, I can see the entity jumping. So for me, it's completely out of question how it works. And even the genetic part, I mean, it's coming from the literature which genes are affected by the spike protein, paralyzed completely. So naming the proteins is no problem. And then you can make those affirmations like demethylate BRCA1. Tuck, bang, spirit comes back, thyroid closes. And you can affirm it, and it works. Mm. And the other one is 5-3-BP1, I think, the one that is responsible for the thyroid. And you can play with those just by affirming methylation or demethylation, is switching them on and off. And it's a very easy way for self-curing you from soul loss and basically the condition to be vulnerable to a disease, because if thyroid is closed, it's closed. Demons don't see you. Disease demons don't target you because you're not a potential victim for them. You didn't call for them, so they don't come. This is kind of one possibility. Another possibility, it's known what pheromone receptors are involved, and it's known what substances block those receptors. So you just need some essential oils to block the pheromone receptors. And then you can be close to an infected person. But you don't get the spikes into your system, and you don't give the order to your thyroid to open up, so you're completely safe from getting infected on the energetic level. Doesn't mean that you're not taking in RNA or viruses, but they're not activated. It always needs kind of both. You, if you have the virus in you and you get the activation, it's allowed to grow. If you don't have the virus in you and you get an activation, you get symptoms, but they disappear after 5-6 hours. It is exactly what shedding victims experience. They get the symptoms of the disease, but they have no infection. And so you need to exactly know what you have. So you can't protect yourself by blocking pheromone receptors from getting infected, but you can prevent the disease to break out because the spiritual part is blocked. And this is kind of how we learned and developed the products we are about to put onto the market, like fragrances for him and for her. Just with beautiful smells, you know, the medical part as the basic fragrances, and then something that even makes sense from the aesthetics of male-female attraction patterns, that you have, you know, something that does make sense even in that way. And then you can just protect yourself in a beautiful way that doesn't need. I think I'm allowed to talk about preventive measures without claiming that I'm healing a disease. Plus, I'm allowed to, just if somebody out there is thinking how to have a go at me, I'm allowed to say that I produce this for myself and that I can always state my story, you know, like with all the other things. I caught COVID 3 months ago, 2.5-3 months ago, and it almost killed me. I'm not saying COVID does not exist like many others, because it is a heavy thing to have. And from my network, there was one development that is like a biochemical carpet bombing against that multi-systemic disease. And I am allowed to say I think it saved my life. I tried all sorts of things. I had a long list of medications where I wanted to know, does it really help or doesn't it? And one of them definitely won the race, and that is the medicinals number 9, coming from India. And it's not internationally, it's not on the markets yet. Still kind of struggling for with the regulation authorities what is allowed to be imported, but direct orders from private customers normally get through. So medicinals.com would be the address to order at the moment, and it's really beautiful. It's
could you spell that with medicinals or with an M or
like Vedic, like from the Vedic culture, Vedic, and then medicinal, like medicinal plant, and then in plural with an S at the end. So medicinals.
Medicinals, okay. Medicinals. Yeah. Like I'm, are you saying, like I'm trying to get a good grip on it for myself so I understand that the healing entities that can come through, let's say, smells or aromas are a natural occurrence in the universe that help us heal by helping us detox at a time we need it. And that's why they come in and they leave. Like I'm going back a little bit in the conversation.
You know, it's not about healing at that point. This is just about prevention. Like, okay. Especially if I remember Black Death, there used to be one remedy. It's called thieves, because the thieves loved to go into the houses of the ones who have died to take their valuable stuff out of there. And they knew if they just go in like that, they infect themselves. So they had this mixture of essential oils, putting it on a mask, breathing through the mask, and they were completely safe from getting infected, because this mix was blocking the right pheromone receptors, I suppose. I don't know that for sure, because we don't know exactly what the Black Death, how it was triggered, but the principle is the same. So this is to prevent. Also, medicinals is mostly to prevent long COVID symptoms. You know, it's not there to target the market of medicinal remedies, kind of addressing COVID. But what it beautifully does, it's preventing COVID develop into a long COVID issue.
Okay.
But I had that phase when I was ill, but that was not dangerous. I had the infection and I was lying in bed and I didn't recognize my own hand. I couldn't imagine to ever again want something in my life. So my spirit was completely driven out, but I was not at risk of dying. And then the virus was defeated. This is something the immune system normally does. And then a week later, the relapse came. And I realized, oh, now my lung is drowning in water.
Mm.
And I was in this cold sweat overnight. So this is kind of the long COVID symptoms starting to develop. And this can either kind of re-regulate itself after a while, or it can get worse and worse and worse and worse. And we have loads of cases. I know in Germany, there are camps in front of the blood washing clinics with like 30,000 patients waiting in lines to get their blood cleansed because of the self-cleansing system of the body is completely collapsing. And this is kind of what keeps them alive. It's not in the mainstream, but I hear it from people living there in those camps. So long COVID is quite a serious issue. And we have lots and lots of cases. And the things I'm basically involved in developing them is all preventing long-term damage, which is the best point to jump in. Also, not only from the medical aspect, it's kind of a good thing to do also from the legal one, because the networks I'm working in, they always work on primary cause of disease, never on suppressing symptoms. And if you do that, you come up with very soft solutions, like you need a nutrition here and a molecule there to block a receptor, and it's all part of natural food, herbs, roots, whatever. So you mix something and you can't even call it medicine because it's so natural and nutrition-based as a concept. Still, it's carpet bombing against the biochemical pathways involved. So it does a job, but you're not allowed legally to call it medicine because it's a food supplement, or a food supplement if you're lucky for special medical purposes. This is what it got. Medicinals got that in India as a legal status. In Europe, it's still kind of trying to apply for a food supplement only. And then legally, nobody is allowed to even state publicly that this might cure an acute COVID infection. Yeah? But preventive medicine is something else, and we've got shitloads of problems in the preventive area that should be solved. And the same with the other solutions we offer, most of it is based on radionics. It doesn't even have a legal status yet. Homeopathy has, it's kind of acknowledged and put into the hand of the pharmacies to trade homeopathy. With the radionics, it's so new that doesn't even have a legal status.
Could you explain that a little bit? What that word means and what it offers?
Homeopathy is kind of a concept that evolved from understanding that if I have a disease and I take something that represents the signature of the disease and dilute it and shake it and dilute it and shake it and dilute it, the information field is amplified and the substance is going towards zero. And then I basically put in that information field into my body and the immune system says, wow, there's an attack of this and that. And it suddenly enables itself to recognize the pathogen and fight off the disease. So it says to fight the same with the same. as a concept. And this is done like in an analog way, taking a real substance that is associated with a disease and treating it with your hands into a product. But signatures can also be represented by wave patterns. And radionics is kind of its a more advanced form, or more a digitalized form of homeopathy, where a signature is represented by a column of numbers that can be calculated from a signature of a real substance. So you take the substance, put it into one slot of the machine, and then you basically imprint the signature on a magnet card as a wave pattern. And then you can take that wave pattern and imprint it on globuli or on crystals or on water, salt water, whatever you need as a carrier substance. And the good thing about it, you can add more things to it. Homeopathy is only working with the nozotes, with the real substance of a disease. With the radionics, you might as well play with epigenetics or play with affirmations. We know that genetics have this junk DNA in that funnily exactly follow the structure of human language. So it's not a surprise, just the structure, you know, it's soft hint, but it shows what this is about. Because language is not something we developed. Language is one of the core mechanisms creating universes. It's an encoding thing for realities. So genetics are mostly programmed by language, or language is one programming layer of genetics. So you can just define the result you want to have, can we take as an example, you say, can a genome do produce protein XYZ?
Produce, pardon me?
Produce the protein XYZ. Would be a command DNA can read, because it's capable of understanding language, because it's the basic programming code for it. Okay. And then you transform that sentence into numbers. You transform the letters into numbers and the numbers into a vibrational pattern. And that you imprint on water or globuli or a crystal. And then you give it to the body and the DNA reacts on it. And it's quite miraculous, but it works. Experience shows whenever you do those things, the results are significant. So radionics is like integrating the homeopathy concept of working with nozotes with the lingual programming of DNA, plus working with numbers only also works. Sometimes holy geometry and fractal order can be displayed by certain numbers that have certain signatures. That represent a certain order of things. If the order is disturbed and you want to bring it back into the natural state, sometimes the number is the strongest expression you can give nature to find back to that order. So it's a mix where you can combine all different types of information medicine into one concept, creating one remedy. And quite a complex art with quite amazing results sometimes.
That could explain the crystal hurting and healing, some of the myths I've heard, you know, over the years from so-called past or ancient civilizations.
Yeah, like one of the things we also related to COVID, because it's kind of the topic we came from. Somebody made a study and found out that certain professions are most vulnerable to get heavy cases of COVID. And the common denominator was time pressure. So pizza drivers, people working on assembly lines, if they get COVID, they very likely die from it because they live under constant time pressure, which again is a trauma that relates to the thyroid. So the thyroid is rather likely to open to a disease, just to give those people a little break from the time pressure. Get ill, get some rest. This is how it's connected. So if you have the possibility to work with the radionics, you can find an affirmation like, I dance ahead of my necessities, which is giving back the ease to life as an affirmation. Genetics can read that. And beautiful. Suddenly you have a relaxation and you just dance ahead of your necessities, and it's it's beautiful. And so radionics can compose a huge number of aspects together into one signature that then might have an effect.
Well, how would a person access radionics? Is it something they can visit, read about, do themselves, study?
There are practitioners, and the good ones mostly work on an individual base. They go have the patient tested. Often it goes in Germany, it's always a double pack of radionic testing plus dark field microscopy of the blood. This is how it developed in Germany. I don't know if these services are available in other countries, but the double pack of those two diagnosis methods delivered quite a good amount of data about the health status. And then the one that is doing the radionic treatment will combine signatures that are designed for that person to work. If you have complex things that are repetitive, you can basically address a common denominator of all things. Like when you deal with a disease like COVID, you can address certain aspects. What the first one we addressed, this is actually the moment when I decided to jump back into medical research, when I experienced the shedding for the first time. I saw a girl I was in love with for 15 years in Berlin. She's working as a nurse in a hospital. She's not, but the doctors around her are. And I just spent one day in her flat, and next day I had COVID symptoms. Not all of them, not the coughing, respiratory organs were okay, but all the rest of my body went into infection mode for like a day. And then it was good again, disappeared. And I came home and I met my neighbor living next door, a lady, postmenopause, and next day she started bleeding like hell. So I realized there's something jumping from that had the shedding effect to the next. And this is like normally I say, you know, people can do whatever they want. I'm not judging anyone, not for being stupid and not for being evil and not for being a victim. Everyone makes his choices and gets what he needs to experience as an experience. But this is a highly non-voluntary thing. You know, if I decide to get jabbed, I get jabbed because I decided to do so. I need to live with the consequences. No pity. But if I decide to not get, I get close to a victim or even to a shedding victim that is passing it along the line, there's no way for me to escape the effect. And this is kind of, this is not according to the spiritual laws I'm used to live in. This is a direct attack, and it got through on my end. And I really needed to fix the damage done by that. It was like my entire sexuality went back into a state of a six-year-old, because it addressed the sexual organs, testosterone production, sperm production. Gone, up in flames. And I wanted to have that back, so I needed to find ways to restore my health, because I didn't feel like being in that state for the rest of my life. So the first things we found was actually energetic surgery on the chakra system that helped a lot with restoring the self-perception of sexuality. That was kind of one part that I found someone, a lady in Denmark, who had a training in doing that service, restoring the energetics after a COVID infection or after a shedding event. And that was kind of the first part, but it didn't really solve all the problems. And then I realized, okay, I might develop an autoimmune disease. No, once the spike protein was in, the body gets allergic to the spike protein, starts to fight it. And some of the proteins of my own body are highly similar to it. So it's going to affect my body. And if I get close to a woman, especially her ovaries are in danger. And the ability to have offspring is in danger, because it's exactly the protein, or very close to the protein, that is in between the fertilized egg and the, where the baby grows in, where the placenta attaches to.
At the uterus, the...
The uterus, yeah, uterus, correct. It's the binding tissue between the placenta and the uterus. And if this is attacked by the immune system, the baby just dies, because nutrition can't get through if this layer is destroyed. And this is what we see today, like a number of stillborn babies we had never had before due to the... There was the decision to protect myself and whoever wants to join in from this autoimmune. So that was kind of the first radionic remedy I helped to develop, basically trying to pick up the adaptive immunity and transform it into a state of being an innate immunity. As if we are born as the second generation, where the parents had the problem, and I can fight off the thing on my body surface. This is always the different. Innate immunity is fighting things off on the surface of the body. Adaptive is fighting things off that are not known to the body, can enter the body, because nothing is fighting it off. And then we need to fight it inside the body. And then everything that looks alike goes up in flames as well. So high necessity to basically bring that immune response into a state where it's not destroying the body. And I think I'm allowed to say the name of my babies that I developed for myself without getting into legal trouble. We called it Refertil, or Refertile. Because of the fertility issue connected.
Right.
That was kind of the first development we made. And there was this to prevent getting infected again by any shedding process. We made those perfumes, the fragrances with... And that baby of mine, we called Cosmic Balance. The basic idea was, you know, I see all those couples getting divorced and separated because... And I just thought about doing something blocking that perception that stings like a corpse, because it's the same pheromone receptor. You know, when you smell a dead body that is already rotten, it's exactly the same pheromone receptor that is addressed. And this is why people really go into dire straits when they smell somebody. Because it smells like death. Subjective reporting from all those people, it's exactly that. And if you just look at the receptor triggered, it's the same one.
Yeah, I did some visiting. I did some visiting of someone a few days ago who I know was. I didn't like the smell. It's true. And what's going on?
So the cosmic balance thing is blocking those pheromone receptors, and then the nasty smell is not perceived, and the opening up of the thyroid doesn't happen.
Right. So the thyroid opens up to let in the disease, to give you a break or to detox you. Like I'm kind of a bit of recapitulating our chat here. And this will block that or prevent it perhaps from happening by keeping your odors in balance, we'll say, or your pheromones in balance, it sounds like.
Yeah. Just blocking the receptors that nothing else can block on them. And the last problem I had to solve for myself is the genetic reprogramming, because I know the shedding includes what's the name, the tiny nanotubes, not ferritin, the other one. It's too late. My brain's not working well today. Graphene oxide is discussed a lot. This is not existing. If it is something, it's graphene hydroxide that is in. But also, these are kind of the razor blades just to cut through cells and destroy as much as possible. But then you have the graphene nanotubes, which is one graphene layer turned into a tube. And this is a drug delivery system. So I guess they bring the mRNA into the cell with that drug delivery system. You can see it in the microscopy. They form like black goo bubbles that intelligently morph and move through the system, enter the cell membrane, go into the cell core, and then within a millisecond, they dissolve into single nanotubes, and the nanotubes have the possibility to deliver whatever they want to deliver directly to the DNA. And this is also what is in the patents of all the companies producing the vaccines. It is genetic reprogramming of humanity. In steps. It's openly stated in the patents. So that was kind of something I was a bit worried about. I do not like to be reprogrammed genetically without giving my consent. So I was looking for a possibility to stop or reverse it. And we do not have data yet. But by coincidence, and this is kind of something beautiful, you know, if the universe is allowing something injustice to happen, like this shedding effect, the universe somehow needs to balance it. And we came across a white powder somebody produced, and this is not cocaine. It's actually powdered quartz, crystal powder. But what he did is he found a way to entangle that powder to the fundamental fractal of global scaling. If you go into understanding the structure of the universe, you can measure all sorts of things. Let's say you measure frequencies. And then you measure frequencies of stable objects. like the rotation of a moon around a planet, the rotation of a planet around the sun, the rotation of a star around the arm of the Milky Way, the rotations of the Milky Ways around each other. And you take all those stable structures and put them on a line and compress that line into a logarithmic scale, you will find an harmonic pattern. And in the core of those patterns, regarding frequency, weight, and size, DNA is the midpoint of everything. This is something Global Scaling just found out. It's science, hardcore science. And this fundamental frequency pattern can be expressed physically. So you can basically entangle a crystal to the background field that is organizing everything. And the main thing organized by that is DNA. So you would expect some effect of that entanglement on the ability of self-organization of the DNA. And I'm quite sensitive in self-perception. I use my third eye to observe things. And when I first got in contact with a substance, the first picture I got was my compressed packed DNA. It looks like spaghetti, you know, on a dish. And it turned itself fluffy, kind of expanded, double the size. And it suddenly had space in between the strands. And I could see the repair mechanisms running on the DNA, starting to fix things, which I thought, wow, this is brilliant, you know? And the sensation in the entire body was also very uplifting, like energizing, like, whoo, ready to ascend, just from the perception. And then I got curious where this comes from, you know, the effect, and I visualized deeper into the crystal grid of those particles. And then I had a really weird perception. It was like the hexagon of the quartz structure. And on every corner, there was one angel standing, introducing his own soul pattern into the game. So a substance based on hardcore science, and I talked to the developer and he said he had no angels on mind when he did it. He just produced something technically, but he said, because we hit the material wave spot on, it's no surprise to him that it is an open channel for the spiritual realm. And I got kind of a little bit scared of eating that powder because, you know, quartz is like glass. If glass breaks, it has sharp edges. And I know that Rudolf Steiner was assassinated with glass powder, cutting his liver into bits and pieces. So I didn't really feel like eating any of that. So we designed a stick, activation stick, that is also according to the Global Scaling measurements, kind of being one octave of the fundamental length of the DNA. Like DNA, if you unroll it, it's 2 meters. So if you want to hit that structure in a resonant form without superimposing it too directly, you can take 1/8 of the length, which is the, call it Wurzel, the original British unit of length.
Okay.
And interesting, close to 25 centimeters. So that's the length of the stick. The diameter is a resonant measurement. And then there is a mix of salt water and those nanocrystals of the informed quartz inside the stick. So if you put it into drinking water, it can expand its field and imprint the field onto the water you drink without taking in the substance itself. And it's getting quite interesting features, that water. It has a high, I think close to 2% was the first measurement of colloidal water phase.
Uh-huh.
This is kind of like cell water quality. The type of water, if you look into the human body, it's like you have those nanoscale submarines made out of one water shell, and you have the little pilot sitting in, which is magnesium, iron, whatever nutrient the body needs. And these bubbles with the nutrients in, they self-organize. It's always building like lines of the same content.
Okay.
And then they can stream to where they are needed, like lines of submarines diving through the body. And this is kind of how the body self-organizes. And if you want to drink really healthy water, you need to have those colloidal cluster forms in the water.
Mm.
And this is what is produced by that water. When you drink it, it has a completely, on at least on my end, a completely different effect. My throat opens. Normally, when I try to drink tap water, my throat closes and my body refuses to swallow. And this goes down like lighter gasoline. You know? It doesn't even feel like a liquid. It more feels like gas going down. So this is just the subjective part. So it's very nice to drink. And from theory, it might help to the DNA to self-repair. And this is why I hope that the damage done by those synthetic biology designers can be reversible. Till now, I've never found anything. You know, you can think about rife technologies to destroy certain genetic sequences, but you need to have them isolated because you need to hit a resonance frequency that breaks them into bits and pieces. Mm. Once something is integrated into the human genome, you can't target it with rife anymore because it's part of the chain. So that was kind of the first, let's call it approach, not solution, because then we make promises. It's the first approach I came across that possibly brings in a helping hand to do what genetics should do, fixing themselves.
Hmm.
You know, it's the natural state. And this is something also that is not really known about COVID, this fixing mechanism. Is with a disease mechanism, it's coupled to the same basic sequence. So the fixing mechanism is disabled.
Oh.
So if your DNA breaks, nothing moves in there to repair it. So people age much quicker, and people probably might develop cancer much quicker. And this is what people see in the clinics. If you have cancer clinics and you start to hell breaks loose with spontaneous recreation of tumors and metastases. This is what people observe in the clinics. And it's understandable if you basically disable the repair mechanism. It's like getting a good dose of radiation in Fukushima. Your DNA getting ripped apart and nobody there to fix it anymore. So I really hope that this is targeting the right aspect.
It sounds like it's a sealed straw that people can use, kind of as the image I got. That you had.
It's a copper. It's a copper stick, 25 centimeter long,
right,
and two centimeters in diameter, filled with a mix of salt water and those crystals, and
so it's.
I called my baby Lotus.
Lotus.
Lotus like the flower.
Lotus like the flower. So it's available now. The tube with
in a couple of days. Yeah, not by me. Think I'm not stupid enough to trade it myself, but someone on the planet definitely will trade it soon.
Interesting. It's good to hear of some alternative energetic solutions. for an obvious energetic challenge that has physical consequences.
Yeah, we live in a complicated world, you know, when a field like medicine is captured by a cult that do exactly the opposite of what they should do and still manage to sell it as a healing, plus make billions on it and protect their markets with companies like Academy Blackwater. It's getting kind of a little bit difficult to stand your ground. So, yeah.
Well, I'm happy to
Somebody's going to trade it.
Okay, it's good to hear that it'll be available. At least our viewers can do their own research and find how it may be available to them, because I'm sure I'll get those questions or we'll get some comments of that nature. And obviously, a pheromone-based perfume, for lack of a better way to put it, will be easy to apply. And I'm assuming that'll be...
I still got it on my hand, and I can't stop. This is the male one, and this is the female one.
And they could explain why.
My hands are in love with each other.
I mean, it could explain why you like the smell of some people and not the smell of others, I found in my life, and why flowers, certain ones make you feel the way they do, and other ones may have opposite feelings in closing and opening your systems, which is very, very interesting new information for me on that. Well, Harold,
if someone doesn't get access or the shipping costs are too high, I'm not sitting on the information. It's Panarosa, Rose, and Mandarin are the medical components.
Okay.
So whoever wants a quick solution for himself can get those essential oils and make his own product. I'm not sitting on the recipe. I'm sitting on the recipe for the fragrance, kind of male and female. This is something I'm not giving away, but we're not into making business. We're just into offering solutions, and they should be available as cheap and quick as possible for people.
Beautiful, beautiful. I appreciate that. So if anybody's interested in getting your solutions, they will be able to go to your website and find the offerings there, or will you share with me a link I can share below this video for people, or will they have to?
I have to check if I can share a direct link. If you just look for the combined search of the products, I mean, I think I'm allowed to say how I called my solutions that I developed privately for myself, and where I can give the what do you call it? Testimony that they worked on me. I think this is all within the legal framework. You have the names. You can put them in Google and probably you will find with a combination the right spot because...
Excellent. It's good to make people do a little bit of work to heal themselves. You have to get off your butt. If you do a bit of research.
At least something, yes.
Yeah,
yes. And if it doesn't work, if you give your best and Google has shadow banned it, just send me an email.
Okay.
Private communication.
So anybody has any questions or queries for Harold, they can leave their comments below this video. After we put it up there, they can reach out. I'll leave my email. And if anything needs to be passed along to Harold, I can certainly do that. And we will both do our best to see that you can be helped as you decide to help yourself. And it seems Harold has passed along several beautiful alternative and certainly out of the box solutions that I haven't heard of before, but all make perfect good sense to me. Harold, is there anything perhaps we've come full circle on this one? I mean, I have a, every time we talk, I want to talk about diseases and demons and closings and openings and historical perspectives, where they came from, why they're there. Is it a natural phenomenon? Is it something that came? Is it supposed to help us? Is it a good challenge? Is it a bad challenge? I mean, these are just some of the questions floating around off the top of my consciousness after this conversation, but it seems to me that could be a topic for another time.
Maybe just to close off the COVID thing, I saw a lot of discussions about Omicron, a new variant in South Africa. So there's no, as far as I got first-hand information, there's no pandemic happening in South Africa. Hospitals, especially child hospitals, are completely empty. Nothing big is happening over there. But still, I would not relax at that point, because the one of the designs of the bioweapon is the furin cleavage site. It's a part of the genome that makes it break apart and activates the different aspects. And it's the one that is actually opening cells to get in. So this is something that has been added to make it jump on humans. And the Omicron variant has two to three furin cleavage sites. The conventional had only one. And it likely or possibly will enable it to cross the blood-brain barrier and destroy it on the way. So you might not have the usual symptoms, but you might develop Alzheimer's quite soon after, because the end of the spike protein is a misfolded prion, and that attaches exactly on the spot where Alzheimer starts growing. So I'm not completely relaxed about having not so severe symptoms, because some of them might come in later. And another thing, one of the medications that is actually traded and developed originally as a deworming anti-parasite remedy. Do you know which one I'm talking about? It's
No, I think I've heard, but I'm not sure of the name.
Maybe you can add it as a text later. This is something that kills every single animal that has no blood-brain barrier. And it's known as one of the few working COVID medications. If Omicron destroys the blood-brain barrier, this is not safe to take anymore. At least I would not risk it if I were in the position. So even if the results of this with normal COVID are excellent, that they reduce more mortality and have beautiful healing results in acute infection, with a damaged blood-brain barrier, this is, might be no good idea to apply that one.
So pheromones, good smells, feel nice, drink good water, keep your energy healthy. Yes. Follow your nose. Yes. I'm just trying to give our viewers maybe a bit of the ABCs, how they can help themselves, because I'm sure I'll hear that once we publish this conversation, and to do further research along the lines of what may have been suggested here and in other places to find out what's best for them moving forward.
Would you? Yeah, this is kind of the irony and the beauty of the universe. You start struggling with one of the nastiest things ever. And you end up designing perfumes and the most divine drinking water on the planet.
I think it's a solution. I think it's beautiful. The simplest solutions to the most complicated problems are usually the ones that seem to work, I've noticed. So this is great. Smell nice, drink good water in a good way, medicinally speaking. And you'll probably give yourself a good fighting chance if your heart's working well as well for everything to work out. I mean, Harold's been through some challenges. It sounds like even some life and death ones. He's here smiling and laughing with us. It's not the first one from what I've heard. So, I appreciate your time with us, Harold. I appreciate you sharing, honestly, what you've gone through and what you're doing. And I'd be delighted to pick up this conversation and take it to even higher, more interesting, esoteric heights, whenever the time works out for both of us.
My pleasure.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again, Harold. I appreciate everyone's time here. If they have any questions, please leave them below. I'll leave more information below after I get off with Harold. I'll ask him if he has anything further to share, and we'll share some information, maybe a paragraph or two. And if not, as always, do your own research, check it out, see what works for you, and certainly open to questions and suggestions, and we'll see what we can share from that point on. Harold, thank you so, so much for joining us. As always, it's an interesting pleasure.
Bye.
Can't make me lie, lie to my heart. No one tells me where I should start. Freedom busted.